Yesterday, we heard about a new book, Place of the Skull, that explores the legend behind the name Wheeling. This morning, we pick up where we left off to hear what author Alan Fitzpatrick was able to uncover in his search. Glynis Board reports.
It was probably, I'm going to say, the darkest chapter of American history that ever happened. More than the Civil War, maybe the numbers of casualties weren't as high, but it was as close to ethnic cleansing as any war has been, because these two peoples, the gulf of misunderstanding and mistrust was just so wide that they could not come together on anything.
Alan Fitzpatrick, author of several books that explore America in the 18th century, says when indigenous people severed a head from a body and displayed it, not only did it forever damn that spirit to unrest, it also marked an evil. The indigenous Americans feared wanted to destroy them. And of course, in a way, they were right.
Severing the skull was a way of ultimate vengeance. And now we strike upon the heart of how Native American people viewed things at that time. Vengeance was at the top of their list. Tribal people today, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, will fight each other until no one's left, all over vengeance.
Fitzpatrick's search to discover the root of the legend of the beheaded white settler and the source of the name Wheeling took him to the mid-1700s. He spent a lot of time in the Pennsylvania archives piecing together the scene.
I know in 1749 there's no white settlers. None. Zero. That part of the legend is false. None arrive until 25 years later. The French were on an expedition. There are no Frenchmen, French settlers. There's no war. There's no white people this side of the mountains to have a war with. You see, so who is this white man? What's he doing there? What white men were here?
What is known is that a well-established east-west path used by many tribes crosses through Wheeling and, in fact, still exists today as National Road or Route 40. Fitzpatrick reports that in the 18th century, tribes and clans would come to the area to hunt, as well as trade for European goods. And as Europeans continued to land on the East Coast, Native tribes were increasingly displaced westward. Fitzpatrick says in the mid to early 1700s, white men were beginning to cross the mountains with trains of horses to trade goods with Native people who were, in turn, hungry for European goods and technologies. He says white traders, licensed by the Pennsylvania government, hired rough and tumble hardy frontiersmen to help with the expeditions and the horses. And the traders often carried rum as a gift and social lubricant.
The men that they hired got the idea that now they know the trail, now they know how cheap rum is to buy. What if they bring 15 horses loaded with rum only and get there before the licensed traders do and get the Indians drunk and take all their furs?
In the 1730s, reports began to flood in. Whole villages would be engulfed in rum and then would be robbed. It was lucrative, Fitzpatrick says, so rampant corruption followed.
Imagine now that there's any way to police this across the mountains. There's no way. The government can do nothing. The government says to the Indians, this is your problem.
Fitzpatrick goes on to explain that what happened next was most likely inevitable.
And there's a little note in the archives that a fellow named Hendricks was down the Ohio River during this time period. His word comes in 1744, gets to Philadelphia, that he heard guns go off and heard shrieks, unnamed place, but that the Indians were killing somebody. Mm-hmm. And therein is the most likely explanation for that somebody was caught.
Fitzpatrick says rum traders continued with their business, But it was after that point, and as settlers did move west over the next 30 years, that settlers and indigenous people began to encounter Wielunk. To native people, it was a place to be avoided and a source of white evil. Fitzpatrick speculates that the reason Fort Henry continued to be attacked was because some tribes were trying with abandon and in vain to fight that evil back.
It's akin to, the closest thing I can come up with is, I've never been to Poland. But I know somewhere in Poland, in my mind, when I think of Poland, I think there's a little town somewhere called Auschwitz. And I've never seen it. But I know in my mind that it was a place of evil was done there against Jewish people. And to Native Americans, to Indians who'd never been to Wheeling, the legacy persisted. After there's several wars, Lord Dunmore's War, the American Revolution, the French and Indian War. Indians were quick to blame that the source was Wheeling, that it came from Wheeling, that there was an evil spirit at Wheeling, that it was a white man's evil spirit, not an Indian evil spirit, that this was a place to be avoided, that this evil spirit wanted to destroy Indians. You see, in their mind, that's how they perceived it.
Fitzpatrick says in his mind, the mystery is put to rest, and his books are his attempt to correct history and to try to put a human face on the nameless, displaced savage who lived here before the white man. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board in McMeekin.